All right, let's take our Bibles and open them to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. We'll take just a moment to review these last couple weeks and bring us up to this page tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 18. The very first week in our study on the book of Ecclesiastes, we talked about the empty king and the fact that Solomon, though he had everything, was still empty because he did not have God in his proper place in his life. Last week's lesson was on created for pleasure. Last week we found out, we saw a portrait of a man whose hands were full and his house was full, but his heart was still empty. Well, tonight we get a totally different perspective on Solomon. Same passage of Scripture, but another portrait. This portrait is the portrait or picture of a man whose head is full with lots of knowledge, but his heart is still empty. It's in the same passage of Scripture that we read last week, but we draw our attention tonight to verse number 18. Where Solomon says, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." You should take your pen in hand and go to verse 18 and mark four words, "increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Now, if we said tonight that we were going to discuss the knowledge of sorrow, everyone would know what we're talking about, because we all know what it means to have sorrowful hearts. Every person in this room has gone through the loss of a loved one or a broken heart over a family member that didn't do the right thing or something like that, some disappointment. We all face sorrow. Sorrow is a part of life. Ecclesiastes is a book about life apart from God. And we all face sorrow. But that's not what Solomon is talking about. Solomon says, not the knowledge of sorrow, but the sorrow of knowledge. In other words, Solomon makes the point that the more he knew, the more sorrowful he became. In other words, the more information he was bombarded with, the more behind the scenes he understood, the more sorrowful he was in his spirit. I've had that experience on occasion after watching the 6 o'clock evening news, you know. The more knowledge you receive, the more sorrowful you can become. That is especially true in our society. This is a media-crazed society, a news-crazed society. You can sit in your own home and watch people being killed a half a world away. That's a frightening thought. And sometimes with that increase in knowledge, there comes increased sorrow. It's just a part of life. Leaders face it. A pastor makes the point in chapter 3 of our reading material that there is a loneliness to leadership, and that's true. People who lead, men and women who are in positions of leadership, often have to know things that others do not know, that creates in them a sorrow of heart. Not bad things, not immoral things, just things that are facts of life, and the leaders often have to know them. Lost people know this principle, and you see it evident in their life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7, describing our society, says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Lost people are learning lots of things, and they have full heads, and they have lots of degrees. And there's nothing wrong with education. I grew up in the mountains of West Virginia, and I remember as a child hearing people discredit education and say, you know, you don't need any more than just high school and that kind of thing. But that's not true. There's nothing wrong with education. The problem is not where we put education in our lives, it's where we put God in our lives. And the problem with most lost people is that they know lots of things. They may even know lots of religious things, but they do not know the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So they can be learning and still be lost. This particular principle is evident not only in leadership and in lost people, but in all of our lives. In other words, all of us who are living for God and laboring for the Lord, trying to serve the Lord faithfully and do what God has given us to do, sometimes get weighted down. Sometimes it's with our own cares, and sometimes it's with the cares of other people. I heard someone say one time that the ministry would be fun if it wasn't for people. That's a terrible way to look at it, because the ministry is about people. But if you're not careful, the pull of people and the pull of things and the pressures of life can weigh down so heavily on you that instead of there being joy with the knowledge you have, there's only sorrow. What most of us want to do, and I've seen it in my own heart, we want to retreat. We want to try to find a quiet place somewhere and think that a change of surroundings is the answer. And there is a time to come apart and rest a while. We all know that principle. But really, the rest we need is not found in a place. It's found in a person. And that is the emphasis of this third lesson in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not about a change of surroundings. It's not about a change of circumstance. It's not about a change in knowledge. It's about a change in the way we look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the place He has in our life. That's so very important. Now, there are three principles that Pastor gives us about this particular truth. Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, and this is good, whom we know is more important than what we know. Whom we know is more important than what we know. In other words, if you don't know God, Everything else you know just weighs down on you. It's just a burden that you have to bear. Many people in our world today are living with the pursuit of knowledge, constantly trying to attain more knowledge. But the pursuit of the Christian life is not the pursuit of knowledge. The pursuit of the Christian life is the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not a short-term thing. It's never something you graduate from. It's a lifelong pursuit. Every time I think about this, I think about one of the central characters of the Old Testament being Moses. And Moses said to God, that I may know you. Then you come to the New Testament, and probably the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, said the very same thing, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I think it'd be a good thing if we ask people how well they think they know God, and then give them this answer as well as they want to. Because God doesn't play hide and seek with us. A pastor makes a big deal in this lesson about Psalm 42:1, and what a powerful verse it is. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It is not some kind of formula Christianity, some equation that this plus this equals this. It's a hungering and a thirsting after God, a wanting to know God in a greater way, because whom we know is more important than what we know. Sometimes God allows us to get weighted down with things. Sometimes God allows sorrow to come, and that overwhelming sorrow serves to drive us closer to God. And when that happens, we should praise God for it. But what all of us should do is make up our mind that before we ever have to get to that point, we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord and not on the other things that are going on around us. So first of all, whom we know is more important than what we know. Secondly, why we know is more important than what we know. Why we know. In other words, what is your motivation for wanting to learn, for wanting to study, for wanting to know more? Solomon's motivation was wrong. The highest motive in the Christian life is the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, everything we do and everything we study and everything we learn should be centered in wanting to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater way. The memory verse in this lesson this week is Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 3. And I've been thinking on it today. The Bible says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the word hid mean? Does it mean God doesn't want us to know wisdom and knowledge? Not at all. It means that God hides it from worldly wisdom. In other words, if we just try to know wisdom and knowledge on our own, by our own means, we never attain to it. But when we seek after God and seek God's word and God's will and God's truth, then God reveals to us wisdom and knowledge that we all need. I'll give you a good verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. Now, that's not an excuse to know nothing. It's not an excuse to do poorly in school or never to study your Bible. Knowledge puffeth up. It's talking about worldly wisdom. The Bible makes a very great distinction between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And what all of us need is heavenly wisdom, what James calls the wisdom that comes from above. In other words, we should be learning and seeking to understand things so that we can serve God in a greater way. Everything I learn in life and all the knowledge that I may accumulate should be used to glorify the God that I say that I know and love. And if it doesn't do that, then there's something drastically wrong. I want to show you a passage. Turn to 2 Peter for just a moment, chapter number 1. This is a familiar passage of Scripture and one of the classic passages in the Word of God on growing as a Christian. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 3. Peter says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now watch verse 5 carefully. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And then the list goes on to give several other things that should be added to our faith. Let's mark three words in verse 5. Circle the word faith, circle the word virtue, and then circle the word knowledge. And notice, please, that there is a divine order. This is God's order. There first must be faith. In other words, first, the greatest thing a person knows is not a thing, it's a person. The greatest thing a person knows is that they know that they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. So faith must come first. Then, once they have faith, then they add virtue. You may want to make a note that virtue here means character, decency, integrity. It is impossible to teach character without Christ. There are lots of schools in America, public schools, that are trying to teach character programs. They're trying to teach kids how to be good without God. That's impossible. There is none good, no, not one. So a person has to have faith first, then virtue. then after virtue comes knowledge. In other words, it is a dangerous thing to add knowledge without adding virtue. And this world is full of people who have knowledge and no character. They know many things, and they have lots of degrees, and they can talk to you about a little bit of everything, but they have no integrity. They have no virtue. That should never be said of God's people. Every Christian person should make up their mind, I'm going to have faith, I'm going to have virtue, and then I'm going to work to have knowledge. Because why you know is more important than what you know. Then there's a third principle, and you can jot this one down. What we do with what we know is more important than what we know. This is a great last principle to teach your class, because this is the application. Not what do you know, what are you doing with what you know? I'll give you a verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5 is a passage you may want to turn to in your class and have your class read it. But the Bible says, God says we're to bring every thought captive to Christ, to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we are not just to know, we are to take everything we know and then obey. That's the way the Christian life is meant to be lived. I was thinking about this afternoon and got under such deep conviction. Think about how much we know. And then in comparison, or maybe I should say contrast to that, how much we do with what we know. Think about how many sermons you've heard on prayer. How many Bible lessons on the Word of God. How much you know about church. How many workshops you've been in on how to lead a soul to Christ. I mean, we know so many things and do so little with what we know. God help us. Everything we know, we're going to stand accountable to God for. Everything. And what we do with what we know is more important than what we know. Solomon said, look back to your text for just a moment. He said that increased knowledge must mean increased sorrow. I want you to know that is only true apart from God. Remember, Ecclesiastes is life under the sun, S-U-N. Life on earth apart from God. But I would like to say to you that the exact opposite of that is also true. If the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent in my life, then increased knowledge is not increased sorrow. Increased knowledge is increased joy. Because as I'm learning things, I'm learning more about God and His will and His purpose in this world. That's what the Christian life is all about. And may God help us to know Him, know His Word, and then obey what we know. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for this powerful truth. What an encouragement it's been to me this day. And I pray You'll take it and drive it deep into all of our hearts. Help us to stand in our classes on Sunday, whether it be to teenagers or to adults, and to tell people who are weighted down with so many burdens and cares that there is rest to be found in walking with Christ and knowing the Lord. And dear God, teach us to be joyful Christians. Teach us not to be empty, but to be full, not by knowing more, but by knowing You more. Help us to seek You with all of our heart. Thank You for Your Word. We praise You for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.